CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone.
Hello, everybody. My name is Danny Palumbo. With me is James Austin Johnson.
Hi.
And you are in the Macaroni Zone.
The podcast that feels like... We were going to say it together at the same time.
But do you know what it feels like? Because I was going to say it feels like seeing Rob Schneider eat some wasabi peas on a plane. You'd be like, oh.
LA to Vegas.
Oh, that's what he's snacking on?
I loved seeing Rob Schneider eat the wasabi peas.
I think about it all the time.
He had a little blue sport coat on. He had cool guy glasses on and a little cabbie hat. These conservatives are getting real flashy with their fashion. You know what I mean?
Hollywood conservatives are.
You're like the guy.
I think that's the only type of conservative that's getting flashy.
You're like the white night manager of a Waffle House in East Tennessee. He's not getting too flashy.
What, you know, James? This is a little political, but people always say that, like,
I'm sorry, I said a night manager at Waffle House was a white guy. A white guy can't say anything anymore.
It's got to be.
Not even scattered, smothered, covered anymore. You get canceled. You get canceled for saying you want your hash browns scattered on the grill and diced.
Hey, man, what does scattered mean?
Scattered just means that I think
smothered. I understand.
Scattered on the grill, I think, refers to them flattening it with the grilling iron.
That's how you should cook all of it.
I know. Scattered. It's like we serve your scattered is listed at the top of the hash brown section. They say we serve yours scattered, and then they give you all the other adjectives that. And diced means diced tomatoes added.
Okay.
Chunked means they add.
Oh, there's a chunked option.
Ham. Yep.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Scattered, cubes. Smothered, covered. Scattered, smothered, covered is like the first thing that you see. Smothered, I think, means gravy.
Let's talk about this real quick. Do you get all four?
Sometimes I've gotten them all the way. I've got them scattered all the way is
okay,
what it says.
So real quick, tomatoes and ham seem to be in direct conflict with one another.
Tell me about that.
I don't know that I want tomatoes. And imagine an omelet.
They're both wet? Is that your problem?
Well, ham in its Subway salad bar fast food form is wet.
It is wet.
But ham in general is not supposed to be very wet. But cubes of ham. Okay, so what Waffle House is working with?
Yes.
What they're ordering, where they're ordering from, which is, I'm guessing, Cisco.
Yes.
They're getting, you know, these cryovac bags of diced ham that's a little wet. You got some ham juice in there.
Okay.
You know, I don't want that. Tomatoes and potatoes together those don't go together for me.
Tomatoes and potatoes don't go together?
Not really.
How about a little snack called French fries and ketchup, Danny?
Yeah, but chunks of raw tomatoes.
No, I agree. I hate chunks of raw tomato.
I don't like them in my omelet.
They
taste
like ice cubes.
The acidity, like it's like squeezing a lemon on your fucking eggs or something. It like, which is okay in a
taco. Well, I don't want my omelet swimming. Let me put it that way. I don't want it swimming, and tomatoes inevitably leak, and then your omelet's swimming, and you lose your little texture on the bottom of the omelet. Damn it! You lose that little pan, that little browning.
You want the browning?
I kind of do with an omelet a little bit.
Yeah, country style.
I'm talking about a country style omelet. I'm not talking about a French omelet, Danny, where I expect an impeccable, impeccable turn and impeccable flavors.
You know what I just pitched to the takeout?
What's that?
Was let me do a series where I sort of dissect and review every popular omelet or scrambled egg like chef video. And there's a bunch, but like the ones that have like 10 million views. So there's Gordon, there's Marco Pierre White.
Yeah.
There's shit, what's the guy from MasterChef? His name is Heston something. He's a chef, but he does scrambled eggs, and he does it in a way that I enjoy. He does a double boiler, so you have a boiling pot of water, bowl on top, eggs, butter, whisk, 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 whisk. I think he finishes it with
This is interesting. This is very Great British Bake Off to do it this way. You're preparing a custard.
It's like you're preparing like a chocolate sauce or a custard. Yeah. Which I love doing it that way. And he finishes it with sherry vinegar. And
I've heard that.
I love that.
Eggs with sherry vinegar. I've been hearing about that.
Haven't done that. But I would be interested to write something about each and every scrambled egg technique.
Well, at Waffle
House.
There's
many.
At Waffle House, they're just going to scramble them.
I like Waffle House. I've said this before, but the only time I went there, I got covered in ants. I sat down at a table, the table was covered in syrup, and I didn't know, and my buddy was just like, ants. I was like, what? And he goes, ants.
Ants.
Ants. Arm covered in ants.
I was thinking for a second you meant like there was like a bunch of ants, like a bunch of women named Peggy who were, you know.
Sure.
Maybe
well, Waffle House is covered in ants.
Yeah.
It's covered in Aunt Peggy's, Aunt Sue's.
Smothered is sautéed with onions. Okay. Covered with American cheese slices. Chunked, chunks of grilled hickory smoked ham.
So you want it smothered, covered, and chunked.
I usually just want, I mean, that's how I've gotten it most of the time. Smothered, covered, and chunked. Onions, cheese,
James,
and some ham.
I want most of my food
smothered
covered,
and
chunked.
Chunked.
I want my my personal relationships to be smothered, covered, and chunked.
It gets a little bit grosser from here, I think. We're going to add some more ingredients that are high water content. Diced with some grilled tomatoes for juice, they say.
For juice?
I'm going to stick with a Tabasco.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like Tabasco and American cheese. That there's like a childhood, like Texas kind of comfort food to that.
For juice.
Peppered, fired up with spicy jalapeno peppers. I'm reading a, what is this? This is a article. Capped, grilled button mushrooms. Topped with Burt's chili. Never done this, and I don't think I ever shall. A combination of chili beans, Jimmy Dean sausage, tomato, onions, and more.
Mm.
Burt's chili can fuck off. And then country with the sausage gravy poured on top. I think I've had it before with just the sausage gravy. I think I mostly get it scattered, smothered, covered, chunked. That's most of the time.
Okay.
Norms. I went to Norms, Danny, after a Largo show. I went to go see Nick Kroll run his hour. I took a friend of mine.
Okay.
We went to Norms afterward because there's a Norms in West Hollywood over there.
This is a California diners chain.
California. Now, California has two things, actually three things in great supply, and I would call these part of California cuisine.
Liberal ideals.
LA liberal ideals that are poorly matched up with capitalist conservative fears. So you get this weird melange that's actually all American. But I would say that the like things that are the food things of LA, there are numerous, but the burger stand is huge.
Sure.
The mom and pop donut shop is huge.
When I think of California food, I think of burgers and donuts, and then also Filipino food.
Filipino food.
Taco truck. Yes, taco truck.
The taco truck.
But I'm also like, that's Texas to me also. It's San Antonio.
But a truck?
It's Austin.
But a truck?
Yeah, okay.
LA
all right, yes,
leads the
right.
Taco truck.
You're right. But I think of donuts and I think of burger stands.
But ultimately the diner. I mean, where else do these old men go who don't mean anything to Hollywood anymore? These guys that had, you know, a glory years in the 80s, they got one show on the air and then nothing ever happened again.
Yeah.
They continue wearing their little crew hat that says, you know, Panorama City on it or something. They wear their little crew hat, you know, and they go and they meet up with another weird single old man friend. They go to Bob's Big Boy.
Dude.
They go to Norms.
You know what you're
describing? They go to these diners.
I see it. I see it at Starbucks a lot. I see these people at Starbucks.
Well, Starbucks came and interrupted the diner thing because David Lynch, I know, used to go to the Bob's Big Boy in Toluca Lake all the time. I know that various Simpsons writers would even bring a typewriter to Bob's Big Boy and write Simpsons episodes in public, which
that's
is
so romantic.
Psychotic.
That's romantic.
I think it's psychotic.
What is writing an episode of The Simpsons?
On a typewriter in a public place, honey.
Yeah, but
go to the library where at least people are showering in a urinal. And
20 years ago, 30 years ago, fine.
I guess that's kind of cool. But the diner is an integral part of the LA thing. It's weird that we don't have Waffle House here. What instead we have are a lot of norms. All the Denny's died during the pandemic. They shut down every fucking Denny's in LA.
No, are you sure about that? I saw one across from the Netflix building on Sunset. And
I'm pretty sure that one's dead.
Well, they did outdoor seating for a while, and it blew my mind driving past it, just being like, who is going to a Denny's in the pandemic, like 5 months into it, was like, I gotta go get a grand slam.
Grandmamas love the deals at Denny's.
Yeah.
I thought that the lifeblood of Denny's were people getting out of, there's a Denny's by the Wiltern, you know, people getting out of shows at 1 a.m, people getting out of things at midnight.
That's a good point.
They go to Denny's, you know, the high schoolers who've had a busy day of skateboarding and now they're going to go split one plate of, you know, one order of buttermilk pancakes and not tip. You know, that's who Denny's is for. But Denny's really closed down. Norms are hanging tough. I like Norm's food better than Denny's.
How does Norm's compare to House of Pies?
I think House of Pies has too big a menu. They're like Cheesecake. They have Cheesecake Factory syndrome.
They don't do anything well.
I've just had a lot of fun there before.
I've done some like,
you know, Danny, I think that place is a little poopy. I would rather go to Fred 62.
I would agree. I like Fred 62. I think it's okay.
Fred 62 is a little overpriced. It's a little overrated. And yet, it's the one whose food I like the most of the independent diners.
What do they do well? They
have good sandwiches. They have a decent, you know, kind of one of those 2x2x2 things. You know, two pancakes, two strips, two eggs. They have a decent one of those. Good salads. I would say they have better salads than a lot of the diners. They're a little bit more like, oh, LA, we've been here before. You know what I mean? Yeah. Than a lot of the other diners.
You know what people say when they describe House of Pies? What? They go, it's like a classic East Coast diner. I'm like, isn't it just a California diner? I don't understand. People will be like, oh, it's like a dirty East Coast diner. And I'm like, I don't see it that way. And I don't associate it with the East Coast either. Yeah. I'm like, diners are like a West Coast thing as well. It's like a burger stand thing. It's like a
Waffle House is the East Coast diner to me.
And that's the South. It's not necessarily East Coast. It exists.
Well, half of the East Coast is the South, Danny.
Sure.
A good portion of it.
Of course.
And the Gulf too. How much of the coast are we really counting in the East Coast?
I
know when we say East Coast, we mean New England.
Yeah.
Three states the size of a parking lot in Temecula. What I mean?
Yes. You know what I was going to say up top?
What?
Rob Schneider, conservative actors, can't work in Hollywood. I'm like, yeah, Vince Vaughn's doing fine. Literally a man that shook hands with Trump and was like, he gets a ton of work. And I love everything he does.
You know what? I want all actors to shut up about their political opinions because you're all looking for ways to evade taxes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're all kind of in the same class. We do clown on like conservatives and stuff on this podcast sometimes. I just want to say we don't mean to do that. What we hate is rich people. We hate the uber wealthy. And I don't even mean millionaires, because millionaires isn't rich anymore. I literally mean billionaires.
Yeah.
That's really all I don't like is billionaires.
See, to me, millionaires is still pretty rich.
It's pretty rich.
But it's less rich
it's
now.
It's less rich.
It's, you're seeing more and more now people become millionaires and then it going away.
You know what? Yeah, it going
where it's
away.
It's like, oh, wow.
But $1 million, you know what? The more billionaires there are, which, by the way, we've gone from like 4 to like 30.
Yeah.
But the more billionaires there are, the less millionaires there get to be.
Yeah.
Because they have to leech and parasite off the millionaires to maintain their billions.
What do these people eat?
The millionaires or the billionaires, Danny?
The billionaires. Real quick.
We know the billionaires eat those raw little pheasants you talked about in Succession. They crush their little heads.
Fucking Ortolan.
They drink the blood of children. They're literally blood drinkers.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, the whole practice of like putting a cloth over your face so God doesn't see you do it.
Maybe Bezos insane. Found a package of corn nuts in that cowboy hat he stole off of a migrant he oppressed as he climbed into the spaceship. You know what I mean?
You know what I saw a while ago?
What are these?
I saw
a weird laugh.
I saw a it was a million. It was some sort of self-made millionaire, maybe billionaire. I don't know. Probably millionaire. And he was saying that his diet now is only, he was in good shape, he was in great shape, is only tin fish. He would just eat sardines, just the protein. There's something
fish.
Very, which I will do often too, is like that's sometimes my lunch, is just a can of like decent tin fish. But that's all this guy ate.
Wow.
And so you're pretty much only drinking. I mean, you're drinking olive oil for sure.
Oh, God.
And it says on the package, too, it's like calories with the olive oil and without it. And I'm like, I'm not wasting the olive oil. I'm going to fucking chug that shit.
I love that we can put things in our body that would destroy our sinks, you know, that would clog our drains.
Are you not throwing oil down the on the drain?
Let
me tell you why I do.
Okay.
Is because
I'm trying to live here for a few years, Danny.
I don't have absolute
contempt for my landlord.
You paid for a condo, and I live in an apartment building where utilities are free and maintenance comes no matter what.
Hey, I don't own this place. I get the maintenance. You know what I mean?
I understand. To this day, and you know how often I use my kitchen? I mean, I run a restaurant out of there once a week. I put a lot of shit down there, and so far, it hasn't.
Probs. No probs at all.
No. Carrot peels, eggshells.
Wild.
You know, I mean, like, I'm not, like, you know, jamming it full of stuff, but I think I got a pretty strong garbage disposal and a decent amount of oil. Now, when I'm home at my parents' place, they're like, no, you know, you take they live in the woods. They're like, take the pot of oil and throw it in the grass or across the street or whatever the fuck, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, at my place, it's just it all goes in the garbage disposal, and I think it's fine.
Well, guys, I guess we have no answer for what you can do with that oil. I don't know what you should do with it.
If you're not a homeowner,
I
say clog that shit up. Because what are they going to do? They got to fix it.
I got to fix it. I don't know. I like to take care of my stuff, Danny. You know what? When I use the Ninja Foodie thing that I have, you know, that little 5-in-1 I showed you, it looks like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. Remember when I showed you that thing?
Well, wait, what does it do again?
It's an air fryer primarily.
Oh, got
it. It's an indoor grill. It's just one of those high speed convection things.
Yes.
And the best thing about it is that it has this like oil drain. So it makes bacon perfectly. I can just set it to exactly the way I like bacon, leave it alone, come back to it. The bacon is perfect. And all the oil has dripped down. It gets to sit on the drain pan before the oil so it doesn't sit in the oil. And then if you are enterprising enough, you can lift out the bottom pan, pour off the bacon fat and another thing. Maybe you're going to make a roux later. Maybe you're going to do some gumbo or something. I typically, it's 1 in 4 times that I save the bacon oil. And then once I have the bacon oil congealed in my refrigerator, it's about 1 in 10 times that I remember I have it and use it for something fun.
What do you use it for? What is the thing you use it for?
I have used it for starting a gumbo. I've used it for that kind of thing. And then I like to fry eggs in bacon fat because it's like a fun little country sort of flavor infusion thing.
You know what I think the best use for bacon fat
is? Vinaigrette. You're going to say vinaigrette.
Shit. Yes. How did you know that?
I'm in chopped mode. I've seen so much chopped that I'm like, what do you do with bacon fat?
Vinaigrette always. I like the flavor. And the flavor of bacon fat coating lettuce, cold. It's a delicious flavor.
I have some factoid stuck in my head when I try to remember what an emulsion is. Like the phrase, it's fat suspended in a liquid. That's like what pops up in my head. And I'm like, well, bacon
Liquid/protein, or you can actually learn things if you. I mean, I think you're proof of that, especially what you just said. It's like if you are just like kind of mindlessly watching Chopped enough, which is just I don't want to say it's a bad TV show, but like its purpose isn't necessarily to educate.
No,
you watch enough of that shit.
You watch enough of it,
and you see, you know the tropes and the things that people do.
Yeah,
that's like valuable cooking advice.
Here's the thing: it's a dumb show that smart people are involved with.
That's true.
So they get a bunch of really smart, important New York restaurateur people.
Yes.
They've given them a consistent job that takes them away from the busy kitchen. They get to just land in an air-conditioned studio and just sit there and chit-chat with each other about how well their restaurants are doing. They fly in Manit Choan away from her sweet family in Nashville, Tennessee. And then she shows up. She shoots a few of these. Occasionally, they eat good food. I think you watched some Chopped After Dark.
Yes, I have.
That one, they're just getting hammered drunk and messing around.
They have to be drunk.
Oh, they are.
They have to be drunk. I've seen it.
Can't stop giggling. They're at like a church lock-in. They're having so much fun.
You know who's giggling the most is Ted Allen.
Ted.
There was clearly.
Ted gets ripped.
James, there was clearly one where he was like, he was like hee-heeing as he like fried a donut or something. It was like, I never get to do this.
I know.
And he was having so much fun. I love Chopped After Dark, and it's free. if you don't have Discovery Plus or whatever, like, it's generally on YouTube and they show them.
Oh yeah, you can watch all of Chopped After Dark.
And you know what you remember too? If you hate the criticism industry or, you know, these chefs being like a little too brutal, I mean, they're getting in the kitchen and just off the top of their heads, like, creating dishes, and like, you're like, yeah, these people are fucking talented.
It weirdly, like, this giggly show where they all act like kindergartners is the show that makes you respect them as judges on the regular show, because the rest of the time they're just busy crushing, like, people whose parents just died of a heart attack. You know, like the sob stories on Chopped, right. They're crushing their dreams. Right, and then you remember, like, oh yeah, Alex Guarnaschelli is like a great, like, chef.
Of course.
Like, Scott Conant is like a very creative guy. Mark Murphy especially. Mark Murphy is the one that like wins among them a lot when they have like challenge the judge.
Which one's Mark Murphy?
Mark Murphy is the guy, he kind of looks like a Who from Whoville in Ron Howard's The Grinch Stole Christmas. He's like a lanky guy.
Yes, I know.
A little bit
about.
Of an elfin nose and Jason Bateman
I like
hair.
Him.
I like him a lot.
You're, oh my God, the Whoville hair is exactly that's the best way to describe it.
But he
that
was
man.
Raised, he's like one of those really American dudes who was like raised in south of France. He was like raised by like a old money food family.
Yeah.
And then he came here and worked in fast-paced kitchens. Sometimes they've had people from those old money food families and they can't get like the cork off a port wine in 20 minutes. Whoa. You know what I mean? Like, they can't get anywhere.
Yeah, they've had their servant do it their whole lives.
Servant is
their babysitter has opened wine for them for the last 20 years.
I mean, they can make a bechamel and everything. Like, they can make the stuff, but they don't have the hustle that it takes. And then, like, these New York executive chefs,
I mean,
they had to cook on their own lines to get their shit started. And then a lot of them keep, like, Alex Guarnaschelli and Bobby Flay both cook like daily,
of course,
in their restaurants.
Of course they do.
So they like get amazing shit done immediately.
I
think Manit's also probably the same way. I feel
what
like
about Zakarian? I like Jeffrey Zakarian.
I like him too.
As just a silver foxed,
what a sexy man,
turtlenecked wearing. You know, it looks like he has a line of olive oil that he's selling at all times.
Oh yeah.
I do like Zakarian.
I like Zakarian.
I think it might
just
be like a look thing, but I'm just like,
he ends up on Chopped After Dark. He ends up doing really simple stuff. I feel like he's always making like ice creams. He does it well. But he's one of those work smart, not hard type guys. Whereas Alex Guarnaschelli is going to be like, can you believe what I got done in 20 minutes?
Right.
Jeffrey Zakarian is more like, here's one beautiful cocktail. And it'll taste really good, but it is just a cocktail. You know what I mean?
Wait, so what is talent? I don't even know what Ted Allen's deal is. Was he a former
Ted
chef?
Ted Allen was
or?
On Queer Eye. He was the sommelier of Queer Eye.
Right.
Remember, he was the food and drink guy.
Oh, that's right.
So he would take a guy into
But before that, was he...
Now, that I don't know.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering.
I don't know if he was just like I would imagine he was some kind of like up-and-coming writer. He has the vibe to me of someone who was like a food and wine writer
for
like the Village Voice or something. This is my guess. I'm gonna pull it up while we're talking. But
it would be inspiring if that was the case, because I would love to be a judge.
Got a lot of books. Did you know that a Waffle House chef made it to runner-up of a Hell's Kitchen?
No kidding.
Waffle House manager made it to runner-up of a Hell's Kitchen.
We both know why that's not surprising, right?
Why? Because
Hell's
Kitchen
is about...
Stand there on your position and do your job?
It's about working a station. Hell's Kitchen,
working a station.
Hell's Kitchen is about working a station.
It is.
So that 100% checks out for me.
Danny, can you believe how right I got this? Alan was a freelancer...
The Voice?
Alan was a freelancer for Chicago Magazine.
Okay.
Eventually signing on as a senior editor, writing about food, wine, and luminaries of the culinary world. And he joined Esquire in 97 as a contributing editor. And then he's written for GQ, Bon Appetit, Food and Wine, Epicurious.
Love it.
And from there, he got on Queer Eye.
I love food writers. It's great.
I'm pretty good at guessing this shit.
Man, is there a better show than Chopped? I know that... You know, my brother always says, like, Top Chef, clearly. I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, one that we got really hooked on was this Tournament of Champions, which has an ungoogleable name. But Discovery Plus Tournament of Champions, may have been a Food Network thing, hosted by Guy. It's kind of like a Best of Food Network. That's the best way I can describe it, because it was like a little bit Chopped. It was a little bit Beat Bobby Flay.
Why aren't Guy and Bobby Flay judges on Chopped ever? Are they? No.
Bobby Flay and Alton Brown will both be brought in once a year for a special Alton's Evil Baskets or Beat Bobby Chopped Edition.
Oh, really?
They have certain people who are such personalities that they are brought in for special tournaments, like five-episode arcs. Guy Fieri, I would imagine, because he is Food Network, he's literally the thing keeping Food Network going. He is so popular. He is the point of Food Network, which when it started, it was Alton Brown was the point of Food Network. Then it evolved into Bobby Flay was the point of Food Network. Since Guy Fieri did season two of Food Network Star, Bobby Flay's show, it's been all Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Guy Fieri has built his entire, he has like a studio and employs all his friends in Santa Rosa. So he shoots everything out of Northern California.
That's right.
I would imagine he calls the shots to stay near Hunter and his children, you know.
Yeah, Guy, I know for a fact Guy's Grocery Games happens in Northern California.
They built him a whole grocery
wherever
store.
Wherever he's from. Yeah. Did they really?
Yeah. And then he probably has, I don't know how many episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives there are, but that motherfucker has to be flying everywhere all the time. He flies everywhere to go shoot Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He goes to those places.
He goes to those places.
Hawaii, Alberta. He goes to Albany. Yeah. Then he flies to Marietta, Georgia. Then he has to go fly.
Has he done many
to Jackson Hole?
Has he done many things in other countries? Because
sometimes they do.
But for me, I'm like, how has he not been a world traveler for Diners, Drive-Ins? Because I mean, you could go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to see him in other countries.
Give him a Bobby and Giada in Italy. Give him a Bobby and Giada in Italy.
Kind of, but I mean, like, it's not to say that this type of food is purely American. It exists in lots of other places.
If you want to recreate the sparkle and the sexiness of Bobby and Giada in Italy, let's get Guy Fieri and Damaris. Do you know Damaris?
No, who's Damaris?
Damaris won. Damaris won Food Network. Food Network star, Damaris Phillips.
I see her.
She is super Southern,
okay.
Super sweet, and she'll just melt your heart. I'm in love with her. Every time she's on TV, she is like lovely, and she's like very unpretentious and dorky, mm-hmm. in the same way that Guy Fieri is the same.
Guy Fieri works alone, though.
He works alone
so far. I mean, I haven't seen him be paired with anybody.
I've seen him paired with Joey Fatone. I've seen him paired with his oldest son, who is not as fun to watch as Guy is.
Yeah,
Hunter. Sorry, Hunter. I love you, but
I don't know Hunter. Sometimes they'll give who's the Jamie Oliver? I think his
Jamie Oliver
son or has like their own show now.
Oh, really?
Or something? Yeah, I've seen like or at least Jamie like Oliver. YouTube videos, which wanted to follow in the
Jamie
footsteps.
Oliver has a bit of a tragic story as far as celebrity chefs go.
Why is that?
He like didn't manage his money well or something like that.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. I can't remember what it was, but I think he had some failed restaurants, and I think he's one of those guys that like got really successful really fast, and then he like lost a lot of ground.
I know he was in the group of people that Bourdain would talk shit about relentlessly.
Oh really? Why?
I don't know, because Bourdain was early days a bit of a shithead about everybody. You know, like Fieri, he would talk a lot of shit on Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, fuck
Jamie
Guy
Oliver
Fieri for
and,
like keeping a million restaurants afloat in America.
I know. No one nailed it more than Shane Torres's joke about that. But yeah, Bourdain would talk a lot of shit about him. And you know, for give it up for Guy Fieri for just handling it all with like, all right, that guy's got like issues, which he was right.
Yeah.
You know, and like just let it roll off him. Yeah. You know? In the end, those types of people, James, they usually win.
Who? The Guy Fieri's of the world?
100%.
Yeah.
That are just like kind of relentlessly optimistic and like in the face of criticism are just kind of like, all right, whatever. You know?
I think Guy has a strong support system too. A lot of the guys, especially the guys like Bourdain, they're like orphans a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the big curse of the world is if you don't either come from a super strong family or if you never created one for yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, Guy Fieri too tortured. Has his Food Network family.
He does.
And that's why he's got such a strong support system.
Macaroni Zone is for the children and it's for the families.
That's right.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, James, it's time for Fake Food, Real Food, the part of the show where we review a fake processed food and then real food from a restaurant or a pop-up. We have a couple things we're going to be talking about for fake food. I'm letting you into my world a little bit.
All right.
I eat a lot of jerky.
That's good. Shelf stable,
high in protein.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably contains a lot of salt and additives.
Oh, yeah.
But
high in nitrites, nitrates, high in sodium.
My diet is a lot of nitrates. I don't eat... Jack's Links or anything. I just got this from Ralph's. Ray's own brand beef jerky. And
it looks good.
It is good.
Pieces.
I want you to have a piece right now. The first thing you're going to notice with these.
Ray's own brand. What?
It's thick, man. It's really thick. It's almost like gnawing on a big piece of steak. Sometimes this is my lunch. I just eat beef jerky. Especially right now.
Well, good for you.
I ate so many sandwiches yesterday. I got invited to a restaurant and I was like, I got to go and I got to taste their menu. I ate three sandwiches for lunch. And so today.
How did you eat three sandwiches for lunch?
Well, they brought me, because I had to try the menu. And so they brought me three sandwiches. And so I ate half of each. And then when I brought it home, I was like, okay, I can stick these sandwiches in the fridge or I can just finish them now. And so within 2 hours, I ate three.
How do you do this? I don't know how to do that.
What do you mean?
One sandwich is just such a... I understand that it breaks down quickly because it's actually not that much protein when you look at it.
Uh-huh.
And it's empty carbs from the bread.
Yes. Three brioche buns.
But it's so much up front.
It's a lot. I had fries, too. I had like half of an order of fries.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I didn't eat anything the rest of the day. But today I woke up and I was like, okay, I need to chug a bunch of water. I need to eat light. So I'm eating jerky, fruit, and raw vegetables. And like, that'll be it. Because in between like these giant meals that I'm eating have to be days like this where I got to get a good amount of protein from something. I've got to get some like vegetables and fruit and a ton of water. I mean, that's just like, I don't know if that's healthy or not, but I need on days that I'm only eating functionally, I'm eating this jerky. Is what I'm saying.
I love it. On days when you're just thinking about calorie count,
I
just need to fill my body with calories.
It's not every
day.
And there's not even a lot of calories here, but it's just like a good amount of protein. It's meat. It satiates you well.
I'm going to try to talk about this beef jerky.
Yeah, tell me, what are you feeling?
Well, I like the texture a lot. It has a good texture. It doesn't feel too processed.
It's meaty.
Why does jerky get away with such shitty packaging and branding? Like, you'll buy jerky over all of
it and it'll sell.
Well, I mean, like, you're buying this shit, it feels like, from a guy's like trunk, like a lot of times.
Oh yeah,
like this is literally called Ray's Own Brand. That's the name of it.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
it's
Ray, right?
Ray's Own Brand,
right?
He could have called it Ray's, but he's like, well, this is Ray's brand. Yeah, we are fine with buying jerky. I don't think we would do this with chips. I don't think we would buy a bag of chips that like Steve's bag of chips. Eat it. You know what I mean? I don't know that we really would do that. Sometimes you see that in vegan stuff where it's like, this vegan cookie was started by two best friends in the back of a house. Like, you see that sometimes with the health food.
Right.
But with jerky,
right.
It seems to be the junkiest thing that we're like, yeah, sure, I'll eat it. Where's it from? Somebody, some dude? Okay, I'll eat it.
This vegan shortbread came about when an open marriage went south. Yeah, it's...
vegan, probably poly.
We are very trusting of the nomadic men and their ability to create good jerky.
Fine buying jerky from a guy. Just yeah. a guy.
This is why I'm nice to people that wear camouflage, James. Because what if they have...
You want
to
be.
What if they have good jerky?
Yeah.
Without a doubt. A guy wearing camouflage head to toe?
Mm-hmm.
That guy probably has some venison on him at the moment. You know?
Yeah, you see a guy in camouflage and you're like, oh no, I don't want him bringing a gun into the office. And then I'm like, camouflage? What office?
He's probably got some...
He doesn't work in an office.
That's true. That's true. I ran into a guy in the woods one time and...
Did you apologize?
Yes, but only after he said, you got to wear brighter colors. What if I shot you? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe don't bring a gun on the trail.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you shot, but sometimes I run into a hunter like hiking in Pennsylvania and I'm like, you're like on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
My bad. I come here with my dog.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's weird or not for me.
No.
But anyway. Jerky's good. The jerky's good.
Jerky's good.
We're also drinking.
The best thing I can say about it is that it tastes red. I don't know how else to describe the flavor of jerky. I mean, it's jerky.
But okay.
I like the big chunks. I like the big bites.
It tastes like actual meat.
And it does taste like meat. I think that's what I mean by red. So,
that is 100% what you mean.
Yeah.
It's chewy. It's got strands of meat. Like, there's texture to it.
It tastes rare. I've never had something dry that tastes rare. I get blood.
Well, James, that's because most jerky that you and I eat, like Jack's Lynx and all that stuff, it's just like thin, like cardboard fucking, Mountain Dew brand.
It's the particle board of jerky.
Yes.
Of beef. It's the particle board of beef, and it's like, it's made from the waste, and it is...
Yeah. Yeah. Scraps.
Yeah. And I feel like with most jerkies, you're just tasting seasoning. You're just tasting the seasoning.
This, you're actually tasting
added.
Meat. It makes you wonder.
Like meat. I didn't taste seasoning.
It makes you wonder, like, how is it safe to just put in a bag like that?
It tastes so much like meat, you're worried that it was unsafe to eat.
Right. 100%. But make no mistake, it is blasted with salt and sodium, so it'll last.
You know, Danny, steak tartare was created by the Mongols, who would put a side of meat under their saddles and ride all day. And then they would take it out at the end of the day eat that. The raw meat, they would ride, the pressure of their bouncing bodies with the saddle in between the horse and the saddle.
And their ass.
Meat.
Let's say their ass.
And their ass.
Because we need to say their ass.
They tenderized it with their ass mallets. And that's where we get steak tartare from, you know, the tartars, you know, marauders. Raw meat was consumed by these guys, these barbarians, at the end of the day. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Raw meat and the trail and creative ways to preserve it is one of the oldest food groups, period, on the
earth. So many people got sick first.
Had to have. But also, you're looking at a different world, completely different world before industrialization and before companies and tycoons started poisoning everything, poisoning the water, poisoning the meat.
That's true.
You know,
dude,
eggs get worse every year. You know, like chickens get more diseased every year. It's really sad what we've done.
I got into, it wasn't an argument, but just a point about, I don't know. I consider myself, James, to be a vegan ally, at least in the things that I am writing.
Mm.
And I try not to hate on, but, you know, vegans too much. But the idea that, like, you know, it's like a first world privilege is a little bit backwards to me. Cause I'm like, I don't know, in America, this is where the food system is most fucked up. So I understand that a lot of times like vegan food is bougie and da, 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 and all these things, but like, you know, it's needed to combat a little bit of what's going on. So
vegan food is so bougie. Guacamole, salsa.
Yeah. I mean, this is
this shit is so bougie.
You talk to people.
Beans.
Yeah. People from New York come here, though, and they see the amount of vegan food, and they're like, oh, it's an L.A. thing. And I'm like, is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think
this is simple. Like, the whole thing of California cuisine is just presenting things a little simpler so you taste the actual flavor from
bold flavors. You know, when somebody writes about the food in Los Angeles, they inevitably say that.
Bold
Los
flavors.
Angeles cooks with bold flavors.
What?
Which is true, but
what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, they mean fish sauce, they mean like chili oil, they mean
okay.
It's mainly those things, I think.
I do not think of California Pizza Kitchen and then think bold flavors. I don't think of a spinning rotisserie chicken and think bold flavors.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I don't really think even of the humble bacon avocado cheeseburger and think bold flavors.
No, but a lot of Thai food, a lot of Filipino food.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, you know what I'm saying?
I know, yeah.
Latino food. James, let's talk about real food for a second. Speaking of...
can we talk about this for a
second? Oh, yeah, we have a drink here.
This was a gift for my birthday. I just turned 32, Danny. Thanks for texting me.
I did, didn't I?
I think you did. And this beautiful lace front BioShock looking label. Can you read that for us?
Bruto Americano.
By St. George Artisan Distillers.
It looks very 60s Italian in its...
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
When I saw this, I thought, oh, well, that looks wonderful. We have this deep... how would you describe this color, Danny?
Oh, Catholic red.
Catholic red. Yeah, the Catholic red. It's got the red of a blood red banner.
Yeah.
As a Catholic warlord comes to conquer
it's
a smaller nation.
It's a giant vial of blood for a vampire.
It does. It has a very vampiric art deco kind of thing. So already from looking at it, it looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this like we're selling it or we're getting some sort of remuneration for our podcast. We are not. This was a gift that I got from Sam Wiles, brilliant comedian, whom I'm so sorry. Sam, I said that you don't bring beers to stuff. That was wrong.
Is that true?
Okay, here's the thing. It was my podcast with Zach Pugh, and we were talking about our friends that are cheap. I was about to say that my buddy Zach Pugh is cheap because he's a cheapskate. He's a bit of a cheapskate. He is.
Yeah,
When I've asked him to spend $10 for something that we're working on, he really doesn't want to spend that $10.
Really?
And hoping to save face and preserve my relationship with Zach Pugh, one of my best friends, I said that Sam was cheap. I picked someone who I knew could take the hit. But Sam is not cheap. I had to throw someone under the bus because that was the momentum that I had caused in the conversation, and we were doing a bit. And Sam, you couldn't be more generous in the world. I mean, after all, you got me one of the only people who got me a birthday present, and it happened to be something I love, which is a deep red bitter. I love these aromatic botanical things that you can put in Negronis and stuff like that, or you can drink them like we are. Straight on the rocks with a little splash of club
soda. I love bitters. My palate is brutalized. I like bitter tart flavors. I like things that 12-year-old you would think taste like shit. Those are the things I love now.
Yeah.
We grew up, James.
R-rated beverages.
R-rated flavors.
R-rated flavors.
Musty.
Things you can handle.
I like
it. So this obviously got a little watered down as we were hanging out and doing our pod. But can you tell me anything that you're tasting in here? Because
it tastes like Campari. It's bitter.
It has a little bit more of a woods thing going on.
There's definitely a little more of an aftertaste than like a Campari to it.
Yeah, I feel like there's like a pine oil kind of thing going on, a tree sap kind of thing going on.
It's piney. It's a little fruity. You know, like there's a, but it's almost like. It's almost overpowered by how bitter it is.
It's bitter.
But there's some fruitiness to it.
And yet I can drink this just on ice. I love it.
Bitters and ice is one of my favorite, you know.
I took a bath yesterday, Danny, and I had two drinks next to my bath.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I do this a lot recently.
You have a good tub for a bath.
I have a good tub for bath.
It's an oval.
You know?
It's an oval tub.
I need to make time for daddy. And I use these. We have these great tumblers, and I poured two tumblers. One was one was a little Four Roses and ice.
Yeah.
And one was this stuff with a little club soda. And almost a
Honestly, little
half Americano.
Kind of pairs decent with beef jerky.
Like it weirdly works.
Those two things together like isn't completely foreign.
Well, you get that sodium in your mouth, and then suddenly your mouth is crying out for some moisture. And you're like, here's a trick on you, palate. I'm going to dehydrate you even more.
Did you eat?
Just to piss you off.
Did you eat anywhere? Did you eat any real food this week at a restaurant?
You know, I went to that Norm's after that show. I remember telling Nolan Fabricus, who came with me, here's a hack for Norm's. I know it all looks a little expensive for what it is. Get the loaded hash browns. Get the loaded hash browns.
Smothered and covered.
You can't, but they do their own little stupid version of it, which isn't as good. As far as real restaurants go, I had, for the second time, Danny, Pocha in Highland Park.
Okay.
You have a lot of taco options in Highland Park. Pocha was like, we're going to do a restaurant, and it's going to be like a sit-down tacos restaurant, which I think kind of sounds a little odd. They describe it as a modern Mexican family dining experience. You know, they've got a lot of things that they describe as, like, you know, Mexico City style inspiration. It's very much like a approachable and family oriented place, but you see a whole lot more fruit being used in things,
okay,
in interesting ways, you know, like pomegranate and stuff like that.
Okay, right.
They have a couple moles. They have this, like,
how is the mole? I feel like that's a good way to judge a taco joint.
Decent.
Yeah, decent.
They also have a chili verde taco, chili verde pork.
Okay. Oh, that sounds great.
So, like, a little bit more west, like north and west, a little bit more in that New Mexico, Colorado kind of thing.
Right, right, right.
Which I love, and I've gotten that multiple times.
Sure.
Because that's sort of hard to find in L.A., chili verde, like,
that's
New
true.
Mexico style stuff.
That is
stuff.
True.
We don't have a whole lot of New Mexico food. And my wife's family's from New Mexico, so that's like a thing we crave a lot.
We don't. Whatever that region is, if that's northern Mexico, well, you don't see, like, a ton of cactus.
Mountain Mex.
You don't see it.
What do you call that?
You don't see a lot of salsa verde. You don't see a lot of cactus, things like that.
Those are my favorite Mexican flavors, Danny, is that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
They have a great tinga. I kind of go crazy for their brisket. So they have a...
This is the second time you've been there.
I've been there.
What's it called again?
Pocha.
Pocha. I got to go.
Pocha. A female-run restaurant. I think it's a duo.
Great.
And every time we've been, we love it, except where's the booze? I know it's a family-oriented place. I know you're nice and new.
Hey.
I know you don't want people splashing and spilling and
breaking
the wall.
You don't have to have liquor.
But where's the booze,
beer,
man?
Or something, yeah. Even Home State has alcohol, I believe.
They do. Oh, yeah. Something, I think the bar is
kind of
And
they are specifically a family-oriented. I know this because they said that a comedy show wouldn't work there because they are a
family-oriented
place.
Here's what you don't know, Home State. I want to just book Mormon comedians. Hey. So where's my comedy show?
Name one Christian comedian, go.
John Crist. He was recently accused of being a creep and a
pedophile.
God,
that's right. Doesn't Ted Allen have a brother, too, that's a comic who's, like, clean?
Maybe.
I'm for sure. And he looks just like, I'm sorry,
the only
he
Christian
looks just
comedians
like Tim Allen.
I can think of are ones that have been accused of being rapey creeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or closeted old men who
something
can't.
To chew on.
Yeah.
Something to sit with.
Something to think about. They also have a lot of vegan options because it is Highland Park. It's like a vegan hotspot.
Hey,
so
man.
You got to have some vegan tacos.
I think that's great.
Their vegan corn dip, awesome. Love it.
Okay. Cool.
Love a corn salsa.
Sometimes. I'm going to tell you about a couple things I ate this week. One, I went to Night Market Song.
I like Night Market Song. I've been there a couple times.
Okay.
My wife hates it. I like it.
I went for the first time. It's okay. They also do a crispy rice salad, fried rice, as we know.
Yeah.
But it's called crispy rice salad. Pretty good. The guy warned me.
You're on blast, okay? We know when you fried the rice and you called it a crispy rice salad because you need a beautiful woman in a floppy hat with her actor friend to order it. I get it.
The guy looked at me specifically and was like, it's very spicy. And I was like, why didn't you look at the person I was with? And it wasn't that spicy. It was on a list.
Things are never spicy when they tell you they're spicy.
No, it never is.
And then the things that are spicy as fuck are the ones where they're like, okay, you're ordering that. They give you no warning.
100%. Yeah, if there's a warning, you're in the clear. If they're like, guess what? It might be a little spicy. It's not at all.
It's never spicy.
No. Nope. So it wasn't. It was just very flavorful. It was good. But one of my favorite things there, God, I can't remember. It might have been sweet potato Massima or something. It was almost like a fried bread, like kind of like carnival bread, almost like elephant ears, sort of like sugar, like fried bread. Very good.
Like a sopapilla kind of thing?
Yes.
Fry bread?
Kind of Mexican fry bread
kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. Kind of. And it was served with like a sweet potato kind of curry. And if you take that sweet potato and it's firm, but if you put it on bread, you can smash it with a fork.
Mm.
It was like a sweet potato curry on this like nice, like sugary fried bread. Eating that together was one of my favorite things that I've had.
I have
lately.
Been to Night Market Song a couple times, and I haven't had that, and I'm going to try that the next time.
You can't go wrong with.
I love a roti
any of their fried
with like
pork.
A curry sauce dip. Yeah. I love that roti thing. It's
yes,
I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah,
I was into it. It was good. I also went to this place. I got invited to a restaurant yesterday called Nomu. It is a bunch, because I wrote something about vegan sandwiches, and so my inbox now is just full of people being like, you missed one. And so I came to this place, and that's where they gave me three different sandwiches. Like one was an Impossible Burger. The other was like a pho, like fried chicken sandwich. The guy told me how he made it.
Pho fried chicken sandwich?
No, I mean pho, like as in like a pho, like a fake. Sort of.
But like, you just pronounced it like a Vietnamese soup.
Yeah. So, I'm interested. I asked him. I was like, man, how do you make this? Like, also, are you just getting these patties? Fucking, he's like, no, we make it. I'm like, okay, so how are you making the fake chicken? And he's like, it took us a while to learn how to make the dough. So it's like a dough, but it's seitan and it's I think he said chickpea flour, some sort of chickpea puree. But you have to make it into a dough, and then they form these patties that they pretty much deep fry. They have like a barbecue bacon burger. And I was like, what is the bacon? And he's like, it's rice paper. We stack them in layers of three. We fry them, and it's pretty good. It's shitty. This is bad food for you. It's not good for you. But eating these sandwiches, I was like, yeah, this fills the hole of like, I want to eat something like
goofy and farty.
Goofy and
yummy.
Grimy and farty. Yeah, 100%. I was like,
yummy.
Vegan food can be that.
Yummy.
Can be that without any. And they also had something I liked. I've never had. It was like a, you know, like a artisan soda, like a bougie soda. It's like this coconut soda that was one of the best things I've had lately.
Really?
I love coconut. And in fact, the woman working the counter was like, we have it. Like all the employees drink it.
Oh.
And they were excited. It was back because they ran out. And it was fucking tasty, James.
Weird. I don't like coconut stuff. I feel a little bit too much like I'm drinking Hawaiian Tropic lotion.
One of those things that if you... Oh, it reminds you of lotion?
It reminds me a little bit of lotion. In the same way that I have trouble with mint stuff because I feel like I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you do like coconut, it was one of the few instances that I had. Because we've had like a fancy Dr. Pepper or a fancy root beer that costs too much money. But the coconut soda, I was like, ooh, this is. I drank it and I was like, this is the future. That's what I said to myself.
Yeah.
It was very refreshing. Good summer drink.
Love it.
So I was on board, man. I like it. I think we live in a brave new world of vegan sandwiches. Of course, I only ate it because it was free. But I like Nomu. And, you know, they're at least putting effort into making vegan food. They're packed. They were fucking packed. When did I go? Yesterday?
Nomu.
Tuesday.
Where is it
Tuesday,
located?
Tuesday afternoon. Oh, you know what? Pretty close to Tree of Wishes. On Melrose.
On Melrose.
If you were going to Faded, wherever they do the Faded comedy show now, it's like a block away from there.
Interesting.
So I'm like finding like a lot of these restaurants I'm getting asked to go to. I'm like, God, they're all next to Faded. So that stretch of Melrose, I think the pandemic fucking ravaged.
Yeah.
And now there are a bunch of new restaurants kind of popping up, I think. And Nomu's one. Tree of Wishes is another. And
these are all like really good. These are all like really unique spots. I also think that one thing that the pandemic like kind of did is like really cement in people's minds like creativity is going to be a huge part of standing out in the LA food thing.
I think so.
You've got to be really unique. Like rice paper bacon. I have never heard of something like that. I'm going to go just out of curiosity to be like, what?
Yeah.
Just to try that.
Yeah. You know what I kind of gleaned, and it's what I have thought all along, is that oil is the key to everything. And especially these things, it's like, if you fry it, James, it'll taste good. If you fry it,
well, duh,
it's going to be fine. And I think that's the key to like good, farty, sloppy vegan food.
That's why Waffle House has gotten to exist for 100 years or whatever.
100 years?
I don't know.
It's been a minute.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen a Waffle House with every letter intact?
Never. There's always a couple missing.
It's always,
it always looks like a puzzle in the back of a Sunday Times.
Yeah. But you still, it's no matter how many letters are missing, it's still pronounced the same way. Waffle.
Waffle.
Yeah.
You can pronounce it
the same way.
Hey, welcome to Waffle House. You can sit wherever you want.
I will go back to, I'm going to go back to both places because I want to try, you know, Night Market has.
Is that all you had, that
monthly
fry bread?
No, I had pork toro. So it was
pork toro. So a tuna.
No. They called it that, but it was, the jowl. So like a pork jowl fried, and sticky rice and.
Well, that sticky rice is awesome.
Sticky rice is good.
Just the rice is great.
Good.
Whenever I've gone to Night Market Song, I've gotten larb. It feels like the thing.
We did a vegan larb.
Vegan larb.
Yeah. I wanted to try the vegan larb. and the crispy rice and the sweet
potato. Like a ground seitan?
Yeah, yeah.
Ground seitan, cilantro, like. Yeah. Red onion, lime. Yeah.
And the crispy rice, which was great. But
you
again,
don't okay with the larb there at Nightmark and Song. You don't even need rice with it because they give you, I believe, big cabbage leaves, right? Am I thinking of another place?
That might be another place.
Might be another place.
I don't know if we got it.
That's Thai patio. Thai patio, when
Thai
you get
patio
larb,
does it?
They give you a big old head of cabbage, and you just like make little tacos.
Yeah.
One of my favorite fits in my little low-carb diet thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, anytime you can give me something that makes me forget I wanted rice, I love you. And a cabbage leaf can go a long way, because a cabbage leaf
That's
has
a, good point.
A little bit of flavor and a lot of, like, starch vibes, you know?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's crispy.
Yeah.
So,
it's
yeah,
crispy.
Anything that makes you forget about carbs.
Yeah. And it gives you some tortilla kind of handling.
That's true. That's true.
But I love getting the wad of that sticky rice and dragging it through the larb. And the cow soy was something that I loved but made my wife sick, I think, because it's a very rich dish. It's like a curry noodle stir fry kind of thing.
Okay. You know what I did think, though, was like, I would like to, I'd rather go to Jitlada.
You'd rather go to Jitlada.
Yeah, if we're talking about like Thai food and like, I mean, you know, and also if we're like going to get spicy food, I'm like, man, Thai Town, every restaurant there is spicy.
They're all hitters. And listen, with Thai, and I would say the same thing with your taco spots. They're all of such high quality compared to like many other places around the globe.
Yeah.
That you kind of can't go wrong by just throwing your, like, doing the whole thing where you spin the globe and you put your finger down. You can do that on Yelp if you just type in Thai food and find somewhere that's awesome.
That is true.
Even the places that are like $5 plate Thai food places,
yes,
like Torang, are amazing.
Yes.
So it's really hard to compare these places, and it also makes a Night Market Song a little redundant. Like a place that's like very Silver Lake, very cute, very cool inside.
Yeah,
it's like there's so many good mom and pop Thai restaurants. Why are you even trying? But I still love Night Market Song.
Of course. I live in Thai Town, and so I'm like, I can walk to Rune Pear.
Mm-hmm.
I can walk to those, you know, those noodle places that will truly fuck you up. Like when I'm eating a lot of spicy food, I'm like, dude, it's nothing but hiccups. It's nothing but hiccups.
Jompon at Crispy Pork Gang. Did that give you hiccups?
I don't tend to bleed out of my nose, or like I might sweat a little bit, but I'm not like, I'm not sniffling so much as I'm just like, you know, it's just it's a lot of that.
Like, hiccuping like Bolsonaro
to a beat. I do it to the beat that's playing.
When are you going back, Danny?
God, Night Market again soon.
I need to try that chicken sandwich there. Apparently, the chicken sandwich is good.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Never tried.
I want to try everything on their menu. It was good. I didn't want to make it sound like it wasn't, but it was.
Let's get a big group. That's one of those places where you want
to
get a big group and kind of start passing shit around.
Yeah, I'd love to. 100%.
COVID shit is over.
Yeah, because COVID bullshit.
It's COVID shit.
I'll go back there soon. And Nomu, I'm not sure. I don't know that I'm going to seek out. But it's like a vegan sandwich is something I want other people to know about. But personally, I'm like, if I want a sandwich, I'm like, make it a burg. You know, so, you know, maybe in a few months, but Night Market soon. Night Market, I'm going to say soon. I'm going to go back in a couple weeks. And your place, the taco joint, that's a neighborhood spot for you. So you're probably going back soon.
I've already been back multiple times. So that's going to be a once a week kind of thing.
James, dude, let's wrap it up. We don't have time for a special topic today. We've been ranting and raving about all this shit. Anything you want to plug?
I don't have a whole lot to plug. I'm about to have a very busy
baby
month and a busy baby. We do have our first Rod Stewart Live back at a bar. Rod Stewart Live is back at a bar. That was my weekly comedy show for many years, Danny. And that's a show I run with Zach Pugh and Sam Wiles and our booker, Stevie Palmer. We are back at Permanent Records Roadhouse. That's in Los Angeles, California, in the neighborhood Glassell Park. And the show, I think, is already sold out, but maybe you can, I don't know, jump the fence or get the bar staff to let you have one of those slightly more pricey in-person tickets. But it's going to be a really good show. We got James Adomian, Meg Stalter, Rachel Sennett.
Yes.
We got Langston Kerman.
Great.
It's going to be a really good show. So I'm looking forward to it. And that is August 11th in Glassell Park, Los Angeles, California.
Great. You can follow me on Instagram at Palumbros, PALUMBROS. I have a show at Westside Comedy Theater this Sunday at 8 p.m. Great lineup. I love West Side. It's a great fucking club in LA.
I love the Promenade.
What?
The Promenade.
What's that?
In Santa Monica, where it's located.
Oh, okay.
Promenade.
Is that what
it's a shopping area?
All right. Well, I didn't know. Everything's a big mall here, so.
Okay, fine.
People in LA love their malls. This is the Macaroni Zone. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.
The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone. The Macaroni Zone.